Hello, I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, welcome you to this week's podcast. We hope that our service will be a blessing to you and your family.
Hallelujah, you're now in the hands of our pastor. God bless you.
It's one thing, hallelujah, that thing's going on in your personal home, but there's another thing happening when it's going on in God's house.
Right.
The Bible says here, why? Because Eli has to be accountable because he was the priest of the house. That means any activity that's going on in the house, the accountability, hallelujah, goes up to him. And how many of you know if some mess is going on in Real Gospel, even though I might not know about it, I'm still accountable. Let me ask my buddy over here, Brother Taylor, they'll still send somebody to jail, won't they? Because you're accountable, you don't have to be the one doing the activity. But if you're in a position of the head of the church, how many of you know that you are accountable? That means that folks is going around fleecing the sheep and messing with little girls and little boys. How many of you know I'm accountable? If somebody's stealing money, that hard-working money that you guys brought in to give to the Lord, how many of you know that I'm accountable? What am I saying? If you are a leader, if you are a parent, if you are a pastor, no matter what capacity you're in, if you are a leader at your job, if your employees are cutting up, how many of you know that you are accountable? As I'm accountable, that makes it incumbent upon me to make sure that the house is in order. Because if we excuse behavior, we got to deal with our boss. The boss in the church is the Most High God. And I'm telling you, the Bible says, thank you, Holy Ghost, it's a fearful day to be in the hands of the living God.
Oh, come on, somebody, give him some praise in this place. Come on, praise him like it's your last opportunity. Praise him like he's done some things for you. Praise him, hallelujah. Magnify the Lord with me. Why? Because this is the day the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. I want to bid good morning to those who are on Facebook, those who are on YouTube, those who will listen to the podcast, and for each and every one of you in the building here today, good morning. I hope you had a good week. I hope you had a prosperous week. I hope this week, hallelujah, has been the best week you've ever had. God woke us up this morning, didn't he? He got us on our way, hallelujah, and for that we give him some praise. So it's time to get into the Word of God. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in the New Testament in 2 Timothy, hallelujah, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and we're going to be reading verses 6 through 8, very familiar passage of Scripture. That's 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and again, we're going to be reading verses 6 through 8. Once you found the scripture, if you'd be kind enough to stand or elevate yourself to your feet, that we might be able to read the scripture together. If you're out there, maybe you're in Bedside Baptist, roll over, get that scripture. Come on now, you might be driving. Don't you crash now. Hallelujah. You just listen along with us. But God is so good. Hallelujah. God is so good. I'm moving a little slow. I was out there trying to act like I was young yesterday playing basketball. Deacon Herndon looking real good. He hit the last shot. Amen. We thank God for winning. Hallelujah. I ain't going to tell you how we lost the other games, but we won the last game, the game that counted. And Deacon Herndon hit the last shot. Come on, can we put our hands together for Deacon Ray Sean Herndon? Amen. We had Deacon Scott Myers, too, so we were all the old crew playing against 20-year-olds. Well, we ought to be, I tell you, that was crazy. But we won one game, amen, and we won the last game. So Deacon Mike, you know what we did after we won the last game? We left. We said, that's it. We champions. It ain't who won first, it's who won last, amen. I think they beat us about 4 or 5 times, but we won one time and we got up out of there. But we thank God for the youth. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to get into the word of God. Lift your sword over your head if you can and if you will. And if you're willing, repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. This is God's word unto me. All that it says I am, I am. All that it says I possess, I possess. I thank you, Lord, for your written word. I thank you, Lord. I didn't make up this word, but I believe your word. For you declared in your word that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Remain standing for the reading of the word. Again, it's 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 6 through 8. Hallelujah. Let's read on the count of 3, 1, 2, and 3. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Praise God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reader and the hearer of his sanctified and holy word. You may be seated in this place. Hallelujah. Let us get into an atmosphere and a mindset of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We honor you, Father God. We extol you, O Father God. We decree and declare, O Father God, that, Lord, that you're holy, that you're righteous, and that you're our God. Now, Father God, we ask, O Lord, that you, Lord, would come into this place, Lord, for wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in your name, Lord, you would surely be in the midst. We ask, Father God, that you would invigorate us, O Lord, that we might have a hunger and a zeal for more of you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the scriptures, O Lord, that you've given, O Lord, that they might, Father God, set a platform of change for us, Lord, that we might be transformed through and by your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you would bind the enemy, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that would try to come and hinder us, O Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the technology, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the equipment, Lord, and those things, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, that we might be able, Lord, to push this particular gospel all throughout the world. We thank you, we honor you, Lord, and we give you all praise and honor and glory. Through Christ's sake, we pray, amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. Lady J, there's going to be something that I need you to do. You don't know about it, but now you know about it. I need you to come on up here and bring your mic and make sure that your mic is turned on and the volume is up. Hallelujah. You need to do something quick for me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, I tell her something. She's just coming. Hallelujah. I like that anointing. We got to transfer that to the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now she turned around. See? You see? 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 That's what you get. Amen. Come on up here with me. Hallelujah. You'll see what to do in a minute. Make sure your mic is on. And so today, hallelujah, you know that tomorrow, if the Lord allows tomorrow, to come, we know that tomorrow will be Memorial Day. And so for a subject today, our subject's going to be, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. So if you could sing kind of an A and B with the I'm a soldier. For the army of the Lord. I know you like that one. Amen.
I do like that one. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. Well, I'll live and I'll die in the army of the Lord. I will live and I'll die in the army I will live and I'll die on you. I will live and I'll die. Yeah, I'm a soldier. Yeah, I'm a sanctified soldier. Hey, I'm a soldier. I'm a sanctified soldier.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Anybody, any soldiers out there? Oh, come on. Do I got anybody who's a soldier in the army of the Lord? Come on. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. That's what we're going to talk about today, that I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord, and we lift you high and give you glory. If you're a soldier, hallelujah, I want to know who's enlisted, hallelujah, who has the zeal, hallelujah, who's gone through boot camp, hallelujah, who's on that road to glory, hallelujah, who's the one right now, hallelujah, that's willing to press towards the mark and the high calling of Christ Jesus, who's the one, hallelujah, that has on all of your spiritual armor, hallelujah, yeah, spiritual armor, that's your uniform. If you're in the army of the Lord, hallelujah. Who's the one that gird about your loins with truth, who put on the breastplate of righteousness, hallelujah, who shed your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, hallelujah. Above all, you took that shield of faith wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Who's the one, hallelujah, who's gone through the highways and the byways? You've gone through your ups and downs, hallelujah, you've gone through all types of trials and tribulations, knowing this, hallelujah, that you can count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, hallelujah, it worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you might be entire, wanting nothing. Who knows that when you're in the army of the Lord, hallelujah, you are the head and not the tail, hallelujah, every single hair on your head has been numbered by God, hallelujah. In the army of the Lord, you're more than a conqueror. In the army of the Lord, hallelujah, you are who God created you to be. When you're in the army of the Lord, hallelujah, you'll take hits, you'll take some hits, but everything's going to be all right, because you know what? Because I suffer that, hallelujah, that all of the tough things, all of the rough things, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. If you're in the army of the Lord, hallelujah, somebody put your hands together and give God a thunderous praise. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Lord. That's what we're going to talk about today. Those who are in service, why is that? Because on Memorial Day, what we do is we memorialize or we commemorate all those who have died who were in active service, hallelujah, whether it be the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, or the Marines, hallelujah. That's what we do. We commemorate them in the natural. And so we want to thank you for your service. If there's any servicemen out there, hallelujah, we thank you for your service. You put your life on the line. And for all those who have passed away and gone on to be with the Lord who were in active service, hallelujah, we give God praise for you. But today we're going to talk about those in the spiritual army, hallelujah, those of called out ones, those who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about that spiritual army of those that God have called, those that God have raised up for a time such as this, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're going to celebrate, hallelujah, those, hallelujah, individuals. Now, those of us who are alive are here, but we also, hallelujah, we want to celebrate just for a second by giving, hallelujah, 15 seconds or 30 seconds of silence for all of those who you're connected to that were in the army of the Lord. Come on now, I'm talking about those family members. Maybe it was your mother, maybe it was your father, maybe it was your sister, maybe it was your brother. Maybe it was your grandfather. Maybe it was your grandmother. Hallelujah. For all of those who died in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That were in the service of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we give just 15 or 20 seconds of silence? Amen. Let's get into the Word of God. In order to properly seek this particular message, let's tiptoe through the Bible and go to the beginning of 2 Timothy, hallelujah, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and there's a couple of verses that we need to consider. We need to understand as we get into the Word of God that this particular book was written by the Apostle Paul unto Timotheus, whom we call Timothy. Hallelujah. He was a fellow servant of the things of God, and him and all also, Paul had a very tight relationship in the things of God. I'm wondering if you have somebody, hallelujah, that you're running this race with. Maybe it's a girlfriend. Maybe it's a guy friend. Maybe it's somebody, hallelujah, who are fighting the good fight, hallelujah, just like you. And so the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we're going to go first to verse 5. The Bible says, hallelujah, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also. We see here now that Paul is starting off this particular chapter talking about faith. He's talking about the faith, hallelujah, that was within Timothy, hallelujah. What engrafts us together, church, is when we have like-minded faith. And if you think about somebody that you're connected to in the spirit, hallelujah, you have to possess like-minded faith. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so he talks about here, hallelujah, some of the historical value of the faith that Timotheus, which I'll call Timothy, has. He says, wait a minute, Timothy, you must never forget, hallelujah, where you get your faith from. We know faith cometh by hearing and by the word of God. And so I want to talk to somebody who can remember if somebody delivered the word unto you, hallelujah. Maybe it was an evangelist on TV. Maybe it was your mother. Maybe it was your grandmother. Well, we see here that the Bible identifies the lineage of Timothy, how Timothy received the word of God. Hallelujah. It didn't just crop up in his life, but it was strategically done by God in that, hallelujah, his grandmother and his mother were like-minded in the fact that they believed in the things of God. Hallelujah. Can we thank God right now for every grandmother that sowed that word into your life, for every father that sold that word into your life, for every preacher that sold that word into your life, for every sister and brother that sold that word into your life. I call in my own life, hallelujah. I want to thank publicly my sister, hallelujah, Jackie Douglas, hallelujah, because she sold that word into my life and she invited me to come to her church, hallelujah. I thank God for my mother and father who made us go to church, hallelujah, Mount Moriah AME Church, me and my little brother, hallelujah, or excuse me, I gotta watch my vernacular, my little brother and I, we would walk to the corner, hallelujah, after watching Davy and Goliath, hallelujah, oh come on now, and watching an episode of Gumby, we go to the corner, oh you know Gumby and Prickle, we go to the corner, hallelujah, and we would go and have some church, hallelujah, there. And so I believe and I remember, hallelujah, how the gospel was presented to me. Is there anybody that remembers how you were presented the gospel? The Bible says here that Paul remembers that the same, hallelujah, faith that was in Brother Timothy, that it first started out in grandmother Lois and then it matriculated unto his mother Eunice, hallelujah. So you see how the word, hallelujah, meticulously goes from generation to generation. I thank God for that, that some of these called out ones will make sure that somebody in the family, notably their children, know how to get in touch with God, that they have a strong premise in God, that they have their foundation in God. And so I want to thank personally every grandmother who's out there even right now to make sure that your grandchildren know Jesus, for every mama that makes sure that daughters and sons know Jesus, for every daddy out there who takes their son by the hand and lets them know that if God be for you, who can be against you, son? Hallelujah. The Bible continues in verse 6. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that what that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I want you to see here now how Paul knows exactly, hallelujah, how the gifts of God were transferred. And I thank God that God gave Paul the power to be able to lay hands on Brother Timothy, and that the gift of God, hallelujah, hallelujah, came upon his life. Those gifts that God given you, because we got to understand, church, that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you have a gift, you have a talent, and your job is to allow the Holy Spirit to stir up the gift, hallelujah, that you might not bury your gift, that you might not bury your talent, but God wants to put you in service. God wants to install you in the army of the Lord. And when he installs you, he gives you some equipment, and some of that equipment is the gifts that he has bestowed upon you, that you might be able to be a good soldier, hallelujah, powerful soldier in the army of the Lord. Let's continue to go. Verse 7 says, that for God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of power and love and the sound mind. And so he's saying here, you don't be afraid, because you're going to have to go through some things. You're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to overcome some things. You're going to have to tackle some things. You're going to have to be able to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might when you walk this Christian walk. Am I talking to somebody? It ain't a picnic walking in this Christian walk, but how many of you know that it's worth it? It's worth every single day that you go through anguish. It's worth it every single time that you go through trouble. It is worth it. But he's saying here that there's going to be some times that the devil tries to put fear on you, but understand the fact that fear did not come from God. God is not the initiator of fear. No, he's not. He's not the catalyst of fear. No, he's not. But God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of power. Hallelujah. Love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's important to note, Christians, because sometimes God gives you an assignment and you don't readily accept it. Sometimes God gives you a calling and you don't readily answer it. Sometimes God gives you a directive. He'll give you an objective. He'll give you something to do. Hallelujah. A divine appointment. And sometimes we hightail it and go the opposite way like Jonah. And so in order to conquer that, you need a word. And the word is that, wait a minute now, that fear did not come from God. I know you don't feel qualified, but fear doesn't come from God. I know you don't feel like you can do it, but fear doesn't come from God. I know you feel like you're inadequate, but fear does not come from God. Let's keep going. The Bible says here, he says, hallelujah, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Hallelujah. You got to understand something, that Paul knows what it feels like to be locked up in jail, doesn't he? He knows all about it, and that can cause somebody to be afraid. Can I talk to somebody for a minute to understand the fact that maybe your faith might cause you to have to go to prison? Don't you know that there are societies and cities and communities across the globe where it's illegal, hallelujah, to proselytize? It's illegal to talk about the gospel in Jesus Christ. It can end up costing you your life. It can end up costing you time in jail, and that might make you afraid. But Paul is saying here, don't you be afraid. Allow God to stir up the gift within you. Don't allow yourself to be fearful, because that fear did not come from me. But the Bible says here, he said, but be thou what? A partaker of the afflictions. That means a partner of the afflictions. This might hurt somebody, but it's the truth of what God says. He said, be you a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, what does that mean? That means that there's going to be some things that you go through. If you're a partaker, that means you're going through it. Jesus went through it, and we're going to have to go through it. But understand what Jesus went through in comparison to what we go through. Hallelujah. You cannot even compare it. You got to understand it, Church of the Most High God, because it's but light afflictions in us. That means that what God went through, hallelujah, if you tried to compare it, everything we went through is just a light version. Oh, somebody that downloaded an app, you can get an app, hallelujah, with the full version, the paid version, but oftentimes God's, hallelujah. The free app is a light version. You don't get everything, hallelujah, that comes with the power of the app. Am I talking to somebody? So I'm saying, when you go through seen and unseen danger, when you go through, hallelujah, walking through this world with people trying to kill you, when you go through the devil, hallelujah, trying to stab you in the back, the devil's trying to stop you from where you need to go, that devil trying to stop you from doing the assignment that God has put in your path, you don't have to be worried, you don't have to be afraid, because what you're going through is but a light affliction. And God said, be a partaker of the affliction. God said, come on, if you're going to be in this army, you're going to go through some things, but no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, God said, thou shalt condemn. Hallelujah. So he said, be a partaker of the affliction. That's why you need the stirring up of the gift, because the gift of God is going to get you through the door. The gift of God is going to propel you that you might be able to do everything that God has called you to do. The gift of God gives you power, because you don't want to be the type of Christian that has a form of godliness. Thank you, the Holy Ghost. Has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. You want to be fully functional, fully capable to do everything that God has put to your table to do. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ain't got to the preach message yet. Preaching comes in chapter 2. Hallelujah. But the Bible says in verse 9, he said, why? Because it's the power of God that what? He's the one who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. It ain't based on what you did, because we know for by grace we are saved through faith. Hallelujah. It's a gift of God, not of ourselves, least any of us would boast. The Bible says it's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when, before the world began. We continue to talk about the fact that God had you in mind when he set the stars in the sky. God had us in mind when he created heaven, when he created earth. God had each and every one of us in mind. I'm going to keep preaching it, hallelujah, the rest of my life, because for those he foreknew, he did what? He predestined you to be conformed into the image of his son Jesus. And those he predestined, he called. And those he called, we know he justified. And those he justified, he's already glorified. Wait a minute, how is he glorified us when we're not glorified yet? Because when it comes out of the mind of God, when it comes out of the mouth of God, how many of you know in his mind it's already done? So somebody better be encouraged. Hallelujah. You're not going to faint into the path. Somebody better be encouraged, because God got your back, because in his eyes you're already glorified. In his eyes you're already made heaven your home. In his eyes, why? Because who is going to come against the very will of God? Who is going to stop God's will in your life? You just got to understand, to have the mind of Christ, that you can look at you the way God looks at you. God looks at you not where you came from. God looks at you of where you're going to end up. Am I talking to somebody who understands that there's an expected end? Hallelujah. That God knows, hallelujah, that what he began in you, he shall complete until the day of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I feel like preaching up in this place. Hallelujah. So don't you be afraid. Don't you be scared. God got you. Skip down to verse 11. The Bible says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And Paul says, I'm a preacher, I'm an apostle, and I'm a teacher of the Gentiles. See, Paul understood what his calling was. I want to talk to somebody who needs to understand what your calling is. You need to get on your face. Some need to fast. Some need to just go in prayer and ask God, God, what is my purpose? And don't be looking for grandiose things. Just be looking to hear the very voice of God, because somebody's called to be an anointed mother. Somebody's called to be an anointed father. Somebody's called to be an anointed co-worker wherever you work. There's some he's called to be anointed doctors and lawyers, no matter where. Hallelujah. The gifting of God takes you. That's your anointment and your appointment that's given from God. And I need you to embrace it. Embrace it with everything you have. Hallelujah. Because that's the very purpose that God put you here. You got to understand that we've all been created in Christ Jesus to produce good works. And so good works need to be able to flow and to emanate from different postures and different positions in this world. That's why when you're voting, vote for somebody, hallelujah, who knows God. That's why, that's why when you're selecting folk at your job, you, if you're in a managerial position, get in touch with somebody that knows how to get in touch with God. How many of you know that when you got godly people around you, the grace and the power and the mercy and the loving kindness of God will be all in your midst. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know we're trying to make some different gun laws. Hallelujah. But if you make it hard for people to get a gun, that can be a good thing. But there's somebody who will still get a gun illegally. I feel God in this place. You can tell me that if you ain't got no guns, nobody will die. But before guns, they was shooting folks. Hallelujah. With arrows. Before guns, folks was stabbing folk, slashing folk. Oh, come on and tell the truth. There was murderous plots. And as long as there's evil in this world, people will use something. Hallelujah. In order to try to fulfill the desire of the devil. Now, I think it's a good thing to eradicate the guns, but understand people will find a different way to kill. Oh, come on. Can I talk to somebody? Is this real gospel where I'm at? Come on now. People will find a way to kill you, right? And so the bigger thing is not the weapon. The bigger thing is to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ that people might have a right mindset. When you got a right mindset, you don't go and murder people. When you got a right mindset, you don't go and plan some heinous act. When you got the right mindset, when you got the mind of Christ, that's what we need to be preaching. Hallelujah. Church, we need to do more praying. We need to do more interceding on behalf of people who got some mental disorders. They say that 1 out of 4 got some mentally challenged areas in their life. So our job is to lift those individuals up before the Lord. Don't get mad at nobody. Lift them up before Jesus. God wasn't mad at us when we was crazy, but what did he do? He had enough faith in us. Hallelujah. The faith in us, because he give us the faith to raise us up that our latter end might be better than our former. Is there somebody who's willing to admit right now through a praise to God that if God didn't save you, you would have ended up in jail? If God wouldn't have saved you, you would have did some crazy acts. Hallelujah. A lot of us were crazy, but thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. I feel Jesus in this place. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible says here, he's appointed a preacher, apostle, and a Gentile, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12 says, for the which cause I also suffered these things. See, he went through because of the purpose that was upon his life. The reason why you go through persecution is because of the one you're representing. The reason why you go through tough times is because God has called you to a particular purpose. Paul said here, because I'm an anointed preacher and an appointed preacher, an apostle and a teacher, I go through some things. He said, that's why I suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Don't you be ashamed about the power of God that you're carrying, even though it can bring you many, many tears. Don't you be ashamed. Paul said in another book that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first, then to the Greek, to the Gentile. Hallelujah. He says here, he says, for I know whom I believe. You got to know who you believe in, don't you? He said, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. He said that he's fully persuaded. Remember, that's the same thing that happened with Brother Abraham. The Bible said, hallelujah, that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was also able to perform. We got Paul with the same type of vernacular. He's saying, I committed some things unto God, and I know that God's going to keep me. See, what do we commit unto God? We present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in his sight, which is our reasonable service. So you got to know some things about God. We need to commit some things unto him, but understand that the thing you commit to him is what he's already given us. You got to get that, church. Hallelujah. You ain't coming up with a new idea of giving God some information that he's not aware of. But the way we get success in God, catch this, thank you, Holy Ghost, is when God gives you some things and you commit those things back unto you. When God blesses you and you say, wait a minute, God, I didn't get it on my own. I got it, hallelujah, from you. It was a gift from you. I received your gift, but now I'm committing that gift back unto you. I feel Jesus in this place. We ain't got it right with money. God gave you money and then you commit your money back unto him, hallelujah. And then God says, wait a minute. Yeah, you're a cheerful giver. Why are you a cheerful giver? Because you understand that I'm the one that ministers seed unto the sower. That means it's for your bread and it's for the bread of somebody else. God blesses you that you can bless somebody else. And when you bless somebody else, how many of you know you're blessing God? Hallelujah. So he said, I committed some things unto God. And the things he committed to God is the same things that God gave him. I'm going to commit my life to him, because without God, he wouldn't have life. But because God gave him life and life more abundantly, I can commit my life back unto him. And because I commit my life back unto him, and because I believed in the one that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, I know that God's going to keep me. I know that God's going to secure me. I know that I'm going to be kept, hallelujah, because the Holy Ghost will be sealed in me forever. I feel God in this place. I'm getting happy in Jesus. Hallelujah. He's fully persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What day? That day. What day? Tuesday? Monday? No, that day. What's that day? Everything happens for the Christian until that day. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We're talking about when our works will be evaluated. Our works, thank you, Holy Ghost, will be tried by fire. That's the day. And that's the day that God goes through our works. Hallelujah. Those things that we did in him will receive a reward. Those things that looked like him but wasn't him are just going to get burned up. Am I talking to somebody? God's going to keep you until the day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ Jesus. No, I did not say the great white throne judgment, because in that judgment, folks gonna be thrown into hell. That ain't our judgment. That's why it's incumbent that you continue in the faith of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. The Bible says here in verse 14, jump, he said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, the Bible says, keep by the Holy Ghost. I told you the Holy Ghost is a keeper. He'll seal you, right, Brother Mike, until the day of redemption. Yes, he will. He'll seal you. The Bible says here, he'll be kept by the Holy Ghost, which what? Which dwells in us. That's why your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia, be turned away from me. The Bible said, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Oh my goodness, you got to know in your Christian walk, do a study on these two individuals. They did not follow Paul anymore. Hallelujah. There's going to be some people that come in your life when you're on this Christian trail that are not going to walk with you forever. There's going to be some people in your Christian walk that are going to betray the faith. And you're going to think they betrayed you, but it ain't about you, boo. When somebody turns away from the things of God, it's not about you. It's about the one that you served. Paul said he noted two individuals that did not receive him anymore. Two individuals that did not walk with him anymore. They were disloyal, first and foremost, to the things of God. And so therefore they departed. How many of you know when people come into your life, it's a good feeling. But when people depart from your life for a season, it can cause some pain. Is there anybody in here? Hallelujah. You were walking with somebody, talking with somebody, praying with somebody. Hallelujah. And you were in a position to have fellowship. Hallelujah, with that person, but they're no longer present in your Christian walk right now. Can I talk to somebody, or is everybody brand new? I know some people have come in and out of my life, and it feels good when they come in. It hurts when they leave out, but you got to continue to pray for folk. Hallelujah. You got to continue. Don't talk about them, because talking about them ain't going to help nobody, but you got to be able to lift them up before God, especially if they've gone in a direction that's opposite the direction. Hallelujah. That the Holy Ghost would lead them. Is that making any sense? So Paul said, he noted that two people have been disloyal. But he said here in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. He says, for he oft He refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. See, how many of you know, hallelujah, there's a chain of bondage. Hallelujah. We know that Paul had to go to jail. Hallelujah. How many of you know right now, hallelujah, that if I went to jail and if that was the thing that God needed for me to do, hallelujah, I ain't something I want to do, but if God wanted me to do that, hallelujah, there's a lot of people that would not fellowship with me anymore. You better look at Paul. Paul was in jail. Don't you know you'll lose some friends if you go to jail? You'll lose some believers if you go to jail. Oh, who am I preaching to? I'll preach it to myself. How many of you know all it takes is to hear a rumor? All it takes is an allegation. All it takes, hallelujah, is for you to hear something about somebody that'll cause you to fall back, that'll cause you to move to the side, that'll cause you to block them, that'll cause you not to be wanting to be dealing with them anymore. Am I talking some truth to somebody? That's all it took. But you gotta understand that Paul was in prison. He was a jailbird. And there's some folks that did not want to be associated with him, even though he did no wrong to get in jail. All he did was continue to preach the gospel. But there's some people who do not want to associate with your bonds. There's some people that do not want to associate with your past. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There's some people in your life, when you learn about what they went through, you might not hang with them anymore, even though when you met them, you knew they were Holy Ghost filled. Even though when you met them, you knew they knew the oracles of God. Even though when you met them, they had prayer meeting with you, and you felt as though they were connected to God. But then when the relationship went a little further, when they told you what they came out of, that just might scare you. When they told you what they've been through, that just might cause you to run away. Am I talking to somebody, hallelujah, who'll judge somebody based on their past and not judge that person based on where they are right now? Hallelujah. Because some of the people who smile in your face, they're murderous dogs. You got to understand it. But if God cleansed them, if God wiped them clean, if God turned them around, and if God placed them on a solid foundation, which is Christ, how many of you know that some of those people will be the best people in God to be around? Give me somebody like that, as opposed to somebody who's a wolf in sheep's clothing, a ravenous wolf ready to tear you up. Give me one of those, Sister Alicia, instead of somebody that'll be close, that'll pop you in the back with that friendly fire. I don't need no friendly fire, but I thank God that when you're going to stab me in my back, that the glory of the Lord is my rear guard. God got my back. It's okay. And when you go to stab me, you better watch, because God will make you stab yourself. Oh my God. Now it's time to get into it. So we see here now two people that turned away, that Paul is identifying. And then he identifies somebody that had his back, somebody that refreshed him. You're going to have both types of people when you're in the army of the Lord. You're going to have some people that walk with you for a little while, and then God takes them away. And then you're going to have others that are going to be in your path that are going to refresh you. Someone in your path that's going to give you hope. Somebody in your path that's going to help you in your Christian walk. Does that make any sense? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But notice here that Paul gives both sides of the coin. He didn't just say that he had people that departed from him, but he also gave an example of people that helped him. Hallelujah. I don't want anybody in here to take a negative attitude in the things of God. I know you go through, but if you're always going through and you don't never talk about getting out, I'm wondering what kind of God you serve. I know you go through, but if you always got drama in your life and you don't tell me about nothing that emanates joy from your spirit, we gotta talk. I know you're going through, but don't tell me there ain't no good men out here. Don't tell me there ain't no good women out here. Oh, come on now. There's somebody. How many men you looking for? How many women you looking for? Last I checked, in a monogamous relationship, it only takes one. So you might be 10 that ain't no good. But if the 11th one is the one, then praise be to God right there. Don't you just cast and paint that picture with one cone of paint over everybody, thinking everybody is wrong. You got to see where you're wrong and see that it was only by his grace, only by his his mercy and only by his loving kindness that you're still here. Hallelujah. Give folk a break. Hallelujah. And don't be like Paul. Paul was able to remember people that did him good and people that didn't do him good. But there's two sides of the proverbial coin. Now it's time to preach. Chapter 2. Ain't got but 6 verses here. Somebody say glory. The Bible says in chapter 2, thou therefore. That's why I started in chapter 1. Because how can I talk about chapter 2? When chapter 2 says therefore. Therefore is a summation of the things in chapter 1. Let's summarize real quickly. He talked about the faith that was in Timothy. That first started in his grandmother Lois. Then went down through his mama Eunice. Hallelujah. He talked about, hallelujah, how by the laying on of hands, the gift of God was given unto Timothy. He talked about how to stir up the gift that is within you, Timothy. He talked about how God has not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy, but power, love, and a sound mind. He talked about his own purpose, and in his purpose that brought about pain. Well, I like that, Holy Ghost. His purpose brought about pain, but guess what? He committed those things that God blessed him with back unto God, and God would see him through. And then he ended up the chapter talking about people who were disloyal and people that refreshed him. Now in chapter 2, he says, you therefore, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You be strong in that unmerited favor. God will favor you all of your life. Hallelujah. He said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. He's saying it's time for this gospel to spread out. And when you come across faithful men, I need you to pour into them. Hallelujah. The same thing you heard about me through those witnesses, commit those things unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's how the gospel is spread. It's not a one-man show. It's about God using men and women, boys and girls, that they of like-minded faith might share their faith. One man planted, another one watered. We know God will give the increase. That's how you make churches grow. When somebody's invigorated to tell somebody about Jesus, you might tell them about what you heard today. It could be your neighbor. It can be your coworker. It can be a family member. They may not step foot ever in this church, but that's okay, because it's not about real gospel. It's about the body of Christ. And when you do what God has called you to do, it can cause somebody else to run on in his name. You got to be like that jailer and say, what must I do to be saved? I feel Jesus in here. That's Acts chapter 16. The Bible says here, in all things that thou hast heard of me, we read that one, go to 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. How many good soldiers we got in this place? You got to be hard. Hallelujah. You think about hard. Hard means hard. Hard means impenetrable. How many of you know, as a Christian soldier, you got to have, hallelujah, thank you, Holy Ghost, you got to have some thick skin, because the devil knows that if you are wishy-washy, the devil knows if you are sensitive, the devil knows if you ain't hard, he'll bring somebody to offend you. He'll bring somebody to curse you. He'll bring somebody to knock you off your game. Don't you know that there's Christians who run away from God because of the persecution? They run away from God because when trouble comes, some people don't fight, they'll flee. But I want to talk to somebody who is built and grounded and rooted in the things of God. I want to talk to somebody that's weather tested. I want to talk to somebody who's been through the fire, and you know how to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Is anybody in here under the sound of my voice? You've been through some things. You ain't a rookie. You've been through some things. You ain't a fresh fish. You done been through some things, and you know that it ain't what you go to, it's what God brings you through. Is there anybody who's ever gotten a breakthrough, and you don't want to get one breakthrough, you can put it on your spiritual resume so that the next time something comes in your path, you can say, wait a minute, God, you brought me through A. I know you can bring me through 3, through B, because you're not a respecter of persons. And surely if you did it before, God, you got the power to do it again. Praise be to God. Got to endure with hardness as a soldier. Hallelujah. 3 more verses in this stanza. He says, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. What does that mean? No man that warreth. He's talking about people who are good soldiers, right? He's talking about those who are in the army of the Lord. He said, when you're in that position, you don't war. If you're a warring man, you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. We're talking about the affairs of the world. That's why the Bible says in 1 John, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You got to make a decision. And that decision should be Christ. You got to know that Jesus said it, and I'll preach it until I die. If anybody's going to come after me, let him do what? He got to do what? He got to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I feel like preaching in here. The Bible says, therefore, hallelujah, he says, you do not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. You don't want to be the individual that goes back to the mud like the pig. You don't want to be like the individual, the dog that returneth to his vomit. The Bible says that he might be able to what? That he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. God has chosen each and every one of you to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. He said, and if a man also strive for masteries, you need to get this. He says, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. There's a way that you need to walk this Christian walk in the affairs of God, being a soldier of Christ. Remember, he said you got to strive for the mastery. We got to do one dip here. You got to go to 1 Corinthians 9:25. You got to know what that means, to strive for the mastery. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9:25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9:25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9:25. Real quick and we'll pop back. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery, you see the same phrase by Paul. He says what? You're temperate in all things. Hallelujah. You got to be temperate. You got to have some control in all things. You can't be wilding out and think that you're doing God's will and think that you're going to finish the race. Hallelujah. In a good fashion. The Bible says now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, because somebody that runs in a race on this side might get a medal. Might get a trophy. But that's a corruptible crown. Hallelujah. It can rust. It can spoil. But the Bible says we do it to an incorruptible. Incorruptible mean something that is not ever able to be destroyed. And so the Bible says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So I fight I, not as one that beateth the air. No, you got a reason. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. That means you got to be able to crucify the flesh. That means you got to mortify your members. You got to be able to do it through the power of the Holy Ghost, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That means you'll be rejected. Nobody wants to be rejected, but the way to make sure you're not rejected is to keep your body under subjection. That means the fruit of the Spirit you need is temperance, being in self-control, that when the flesh might wild out, you might be able to say, no flesh, get in your place in Jesus' name. Show restraint. We need to teach our children restraint. There's always going to be somebody to come ruffle your feathers. There's always going to be somebody, oh, come on, that'll step on your foot and won't say sorry. Oh, come on, there's always going to be somebody that's going to try to come against you. Hallelujah. I know a mama bear, when you walk across the path, hallelujah, mama bears don't, they'll go after you. But in this season, you got to show a little bit of restraint through the Holy Spirit. Not saying you don't clap back, but you have to do it under the power of the Holy Ghost so you don't find yourself rejected. I feel God. Pop on back and we're going to finish up. So we know what the masteries is. So it says in verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Striving lawfully, striving according to the word of God, putting yourself and your body under subjection. The last verse here says, the husbandman, hallelujah, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Hallelujah. So there's some fruits that are going to be garnered by the person, hallelujah, that planted the seed. We thank God for that. Hallelujah. Last thing, pop over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. This is what we read together. Now Paul says, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. He was in the army of the service of the Lord. He said, I finished my course. See, you can't finish nobody else's course. You got to stay in your lane and do what God has called you to do. Oh, I've learned as a parent, I was trying to finish everybody's course. I can't finish my kids' course. They got their own path. They got their own course. I went from being somebody that tells you what to do to somebody who can only give advice, and sometimes that advice is rejected, but that's okay. I've done what I can do. Hallelujah, because I got to concentrate on my path that I don't become a castaway. Can I talk to a parent that understands the fact you love your babies? God bless them, but you got to make sure, hallelujah, that not only your babies win, but you got to win. Your job is to plant those seeds. God's job is to bring an increase in their life. Your job is to walk, hallelujah, circumspect to the word of God, to be an example, hallelujah. Their job is to be able to witness the Christ that's in you and be able to emulate it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Your job is to make it to heaven, hallelujah. What good is it that you strive and you do everything, hallelujah, you strive, hallelujah, and you sacrifice, hallelujah, and you spend all your time on your kids and you find yourself lost? That ain't right, hallelujah. We got to make sure that we good, hallelujah, that in the sacrificing and in spending the time that we don't lose our salvation. How many of you know that kids can make you lose your salvation? Yeah, they can if you allow them to, but you got to make sure that you're on the right track, parents, hallelujah. And so you got to take some me time, and what I mean by me time, that's you and God time, hallelujah. I ain't talking about you do what you want to do. I'm talking about put yourself in a space where you communicate with God. Put yourself in a space where you, hallelujah, meditate on the word of God. Put yourself in a space where it's you and God alone. Everybody needs a sabbatical. Not just the preacher, man. Every person needs time to go up on the mountain. Everybody needs time, alone time with God. Everybody needs time that God can minister to them. Hallelujah. I hope you receive it. But Paul said it's his time. He's fought a good fight. He said he finished his court, and he said, what? I've kept the faith. The same faith you start off with is the same faith that you need to have at the end. If you believe that Christ is Savior of mankind when you started, you got to also believe that Christ is the Savior of your soul at the end. That's your ticket in, through faith in Christ, not of your works, but faith in Christ. Faith in Christ alone, that is your works. Hallelujah. Man, people that argue with me and say, well, faith without works is dead. I'm saying the first work that you ever had produced, hallelujah, was when God caused you to believe him. That's the work that produced. The work was that you believed him. But guess what? You didn't do that work on your own, because God gave you the ability to believe. Because without God, hallelujah, you'd still have blinders on your mind of unbelief. Without God, hallelujah, you'd still be blind in your eyes. But God opened your eyes that you could see. Hallelujah. God opened your ears that you can hear. It was God that took the blinders off your mind. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus in here. He says, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Hallelujah. Judgment seat of Christ. That day. Judgment day. And not to me only. Paul said, it ain't about me. But unto all them also that love his appearing. If you love his appearing, that means you believe that he's coming back. And if you believe he's coming back, hallelujah, that's about salvation. Hallelujah. For salvation is what? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Because with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our hope, hallelujah, is made up of our faith, believing that God's going to come back again. And he called us with a holy calling before the foundations of the world, and he will keep you until the day of the judgment seat of Christ. So wait a minute. At the end is already fixed. We just don't know all the chapters in our life. We don't know how long we're going to be here. But you run that race knowing that you're victorious. No matter what the devil brings you through, I'm going through some crazy stuff. But I'm encouraged, and I know that God has taken me down this path, hallelujah, that I might understand the depth and the riches of his love, that I might be able to now take that love and bestow it upon others. That's what this Christian walk is all about. You can hang all the commandments upon these. Love the Lord your God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. Hallelujah. And love your neighbor as yourself. As I wrap up this message, understand the fact that Paul was a good soldier. He had on his spiritual armor. He fought good fights. We've been talking about deliverance of demons. Paul had his hand in that. That's why at the sons of Sceva, they said, wait, Jesus I know. Paul I know, but who are you? Paul fought against demons. He was in perils. He went through. He was beaten with rods 3 times. Shipwrecked. Whipped. In prison. In the hands of the deep. In the hands of perilous men. But yet he kept the faith through all that. And he's showing us a blueprint, an example as a soldier. But I'd be remiss on this pre-Memorial Day if I didn't talk about the greatest soldier who there was. I'm talking about a soldier that got captured. A soldier that got captured by the enemy camp. A soldier that got spat upon, got mocked, got beat, had to carry his own cross to Calvary's Hill, captured in battle, prisoner of war, hung, bled, died, and upon his death, one of the things he said is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a great soldier. But according to the scriptures, on the third day, the power of his Father and through the Holy Ghost raised him up. Paul talks about a crown of righteousness. He received the crown. All power, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He resurrected, stuck around on earth for about 40 more days. One time, he was seen of over 500 at once. And then the Bible said that his disciples gazed as he ascended up in heaven. Hallelujah. On that 40th day, thanks be to God. He told them to do something before he left. He said, wait, tarry in Jerusalem until you be, hallelujah, filled from power up on high. 40th day he was here and left. 10 more days coming. Now you got the 50th day. Hallelujah. Pente. Hallelujah. 50 means Pente. I'm talking about the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. It only took 10 days for him going up that the Father might send down the Holy Ghost in his name to fulfill the scriptures in Joel, that everybody might know that God has poured his Spirit out upon all flesh. That greater works that we can do because Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. We thank God for all of the soldiers of the army of the Lord that have gone on because the Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. And so as we commemorate and memorialize those who've gone on, I want to encourage you to keep that bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Continue to move forward in the things of Christ. Don't let anything stop you. When you get tired, go to Jesus because he said, hallelujah, in his word, hallelujah. When you're tired, he'll give you what? He'll give you rest. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So with that, we're going to close. Can we give God praise for the greatest soldier ever? I ain't talking about Rambo, the greatest soldier ever. Oh, come on now. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the greatest soldier ever. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, for your darling son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross that all of us might have the right to the tree of life. We celebrate our natural soldiers, right? Because we say things like, you know what? I thank you for your service because I can have freedom because you put your life on the line. And I agree with that, but how much more shall we thank the Father for the Son? Hallelujah. Because when the Son sets free, it's free indeed. Hallelujah. God bless the soldiers, those who passed on. God bless those who are still in active service. But I want to say God bless those of you who are in active service in the army of the Lord. God bless you. God keep you. Good night. Good afternoon. It's still good morning. Amen. Y'all know what I meant. Hallelujah.
Tears, regrets, battleground.
Consider yourself. Oh, we got dismissed. Got too happy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Keep us, oh, Father God. Bless, oh, Father God. And, Father, for those who go and visit the graves, oh, Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord. That, Father God, that you would meet them there, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord, that you would give them comfort. We pray in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord, that they, oh, Lord, would be able to remember, Father God, reflect, oh, Father God, reminisce, oh, Father God, all those good times, all those good days, all those good conversations, Lord. Touch them in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord, and we'll forever give you praise and honor and glory through Christ Jesus' name. We pray, amen, and thank God. Enjoy your week. Hallelujah.
Hello, and thank you again for listening. I'm Pastor Tracy Wilson. My wife and I, along with the Real Gospel Missionary Baptist Church family, thank you for joining us for today's podcast. We pray that something you heard makes a difference in your life. We invite you to join us again next week. And remember, let us not just be hearers of God's word, but doers of his word. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Stay blessed and don't stress.
To the enemies, not me or you, weapons are spiritual, they are not carnal.